Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter. My dear friends in Christ, Jesus is calling you to die today. Now, the truth is that Christians are being persecuted more now today than at any other point in history. Some say 10,000 Christians, some say 100,000 Christians are killed every year under persecution. I mean, just look at the church in China, right? We've all heard stories. The state is coming into their churches demanding they rip down all of their symbols, all of their crosses, that they register every congregation member, that they submit all of their sermons and teachings for prior approval. And if they don't, they're wiped out. They disappear. Now, any way you cut it, no matter the number, the story isn't good for Christians today. And it honestly never has been. Christians are persecuted because they are disciples of Christ, not because they're unfriendly or unwelcoming. And being a disciple of Christ is a dangerous thing. Now, Jesus never lied about that. Multiple times throughout the scriptures, he warns us that we are going to be called to lay down our lives. He tells us today that if we love our father or mother or wife or children or brothers or sisters or even our own self, our own life, more than him, we cannot be his disciples. If we are unwilling to sacrifice all that we have been given for the sake of Christ, then we are not his disciples. If we are unwilling to go against our family for his sake, then we aren't his disciples. If we are unwilling to stand against those whom we love, to show them who Jesus is, what he has done, what he has called us to do, then we aren't his disciples. Whoever doesn't pick up their cross and follow him is not his disciple. Now, I don't think that means what a lot of Christians have taken that to mean. I've heard this most often as if it's just some kind of struggle or something that's bothering us, right? I think that really this idea refers to exactly what Jesus is saying about the cross, what the cross does. If you're not willing to go to death on the fact that you are a Christian, then you are absolutely not a disciple of Christ. I know that's not very politic to say, but it's true. If you're not sacrificing your life, your comfort, your freedom for the sake of Christ, then you can't be a Christian because you've made those things to be your God and not him. And honestly, I have to say, I think we as Christians in America should be ashamed. We should. Because we think that it's persecution for us when the government is talking about taking away our tax-exempt status. Or we think it's persecution when there's nothing wholesome to watch on TV or to listen to on the radio. We think it's persecution when people call us bigoted. We think it's persecution for all of that when our brothers and sisters are being slaughtered because they refuse to bow the knee to a wicked government or to a militia or to another religious extremist. We have no idea. We should be ashamed of ourselves. Now, it's not to say that we should not be working to make life peaceful for others and thereby making it peaceful for us. I think that that's fine. But if you think that the world has anything to give you but pain and sorrow and anguish and death, that is to miss what Jesus is telling you today. Jesus is telling you that it all has to be laid on the line. Now, it does not mean that you have to be persecuted to be a disciple, or that you have to hate your family in order to be a disciple. But when that day comes to you, to take it and give glory to God. If you can't take your death as Christ took up his cross, then you must consider whether your faith was genuine or if it was just a facade. Now, sometimes I think it's easier to say this because in reality, none of us are really going to understand what this means until we face it ourselves. And I cannot tell you how you are going to react when you are faced with it. I can tell you that in the history of the church, a bunch of Christian bishops were faced with death in the 5th century when they were told you must offer a pinch of incense to Caesar. And they said, okay, and they ran away from the faith. And I can tell you that there are martyrs out there when faced with this who asked for more persecution. And I can tell you that there are other men and women who laid down their lives hoping to save others in the faith. And I can tell you that there are people who have walked away even when the going got a little tough. How are you going to do? Have you considered this for yourself? Have you asked yourself all this stuff? That's what Jesus is asking you to do today. If you want to build a new house, don't you try to plan out a budget ahead of time? Or let's put it this way. If you were the leader of Canada, I couldn't figure out if that's the queen or the prime minister, so I'm just going to say leader. And the U.S. declares war on you. Wouldn't you try to see if you could even stand a chance of fighting against them? Or if you need a new car, don't you work to save up for that? Or if you're planning out your year's schedule, don't you sit down and make out your lesson plans and see where it's going to go? See, we think so much about what is to come in so many other ways. Why wouldn't we do the same thing when it comes to our faith? Why wouldn't we want to consider what it is that we give up if we give up the faith? So let's think about it this morning. Give up the faith. You lose paradise. And that's the big one, right? You give up the faith in the face of persecution and you lose eternal life with Christ. Now you gain hell. I'm not sure that you could really say that that's a gain, but it's there. But that's the ultimate thing, isn't it? Jesus says when you do this, it's like you've lost your essence, right? Salt loses its saltiness. That's its essence. If you forsake the faith, you lose that which makes you you. And to that point, then, you're not useful for anything, either to work the ground or to sit on a manure pile. If you lose the faith, you give up everything. And actually, you even give up yourself. What else do we lose when we lose the faith? We lose the sacraments. We lose the strength that we tangibly get through the sacrament of the altar. We lose the assurance of looking back at our baptism. You lose God speaking to you through His Word. And the world is always out there and trying to put words into God's mouth. So you'll certainly have that. But you lose the actual Word of God for you. You lose someone telling you that you are forgiven week in and week out. You lose the fellowship of the saints, the mutual consolation of the brethren. You lose all of these things that should be the most important to you. And you gain hell. That seems really dumb, doesn't it? Give up all of this. Everything you get here. Just to get some kind of comfort or ease. But that's what you have to consider. That's what you have to think about. That's what you have to plan for. Because if the things of this world, including our family, our friends, even our own lives, if they are more dear to us than what we find when we enter in through those doors, then your faith is no faith at all. If you're willing to give all of this up, you have no faith and you are not a disciple of Christ. You're going to hear in just a few minutes the promise of a teacher that she would take her vows so seriously that she would rather die than give them up. God give her strength. Many teachers have taken those vows. Many pastors have taken those vows. You heard me take them before you not 2.5 years ago. There were the brave men and the brave cities that stood before the emperor and vowed to confess the Christian faith literally. And they laid their necks bare before the emperor, confessing what we call today the Augsburg Confession. Many teachers of the faith, many pastors, many confessors all died for the faith. We thank God for their example. Because in looking at them, we know that it can be done. You can die for the sake of the faith. You too can be like them. And the day is coming when you may have to be. May we take that day with confidence. I think you can have confidence for that day. I really do. I think that you can know how you will greet that day and die in hope. The first way that I think you can know that is that you are here. And that really is no easy task. It is hard to be present in this place consistently, but you are here to hold sacred God's word and to gladly hear and learn it. And secondly, you come back. And that's big too. And then third, you hear here the very reason that you would want to do such a thing, that you would want to be here, that you would desire even to be martyred for the sake of Christ, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for you, that he did not value his own life over yours, that he turned from his family, his Father, his Holy Spirit working together for the sake of your redemption. That he weighed the cost and saw the value of bringing you to salvation. Now, we don't often look at Christ's death as an example for us. Like, go off and follow in his footsteps. That's not one of the primary ways that we view this. We usually look at Christ as the victim, right? The one who suffered in our place. Or the victor, the one who conquered sin, death, and the devil. But Christ as example is useful to us too. To imagine the God of the universe coming to sit on the seat of the cross in your place. To see how he willingly laid down his life for you. To value the redemption he won for you so much that he put himself so far underneath it. That should inspire us to look at our lives similarly. Because we should be holding our lives so tenderly that we're willing to drop them at a moment's notice in order to serve another, but most especially to confess the faith. And by God's grace, you can do that. And you will. You have in Christ been given the strength to do such a thing. Every diaper that you've ever changed, every friend's tear that hit your shoulder, every neighbor's driveway that you plowed, every dish you've put away, every time you have served in your vocation was practiced for the time when you'll be called upon to serve in your ultimate vocation as Christ's disciple. If you have been enduring through your vocations in this life, on this earth, this calling placed upon you by God to serve your neighbor, whether that's as a teacher or a husband or a wife or a child or a friend or whatever it is, wherever you have a neighbor, then you have now been practicing for the day when you must confess the faith. Because it is only faith that gives those vocations meaning. If you hold those people dear in your service to them, if you hold their needs above your own, you have begun to experience what it is to confess the faith at the end. And how do you do that? God has provided a way. Ways, actually. How do you get strength for those vocations? We've already mentioned them. Be here. Be here to hear the word of God. Be here to hear the absolution of your sins, to hear that they have been taken away from you as many times as you come. Be here to remember your baptism. Be here to receive the Lord's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, for the strengthening of your faith. Be here to meditate upon His word, to give you that basis for your meditation through the entire week. These things will keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. These are how Christ comes to you and strengthens you. These are how you know you will persevere. These the Lord promises to use to give you the strength of the martyrs. And these the Lord promises to use to give the strength for each and every day. How do you know if you will endure? You may not know the words that you're going to say if and when your martyrdom comes, but the Lord will give you strength. If the sword comes at your neck, stand even taller, because Jesus has promised to raise you from the dead. And if you're thrown in prison, carry your shackles with pride that you are to be counted among the likes of Peter and Paul. And if you're persecuted for your faith, if you're fired from your jobs, if you are made fun of as a Christian, count it a blessing that you're following in the footsteps of Jesus when the onlookers mocked Him, when they jeered at Him, when they took His life from Him. As a disciple of Christ, look to Him who laid down His life for you, to forgive your sins, to bring you to Himself forever. He is the strength that you need, because even in your weakness, He has given you the medicine of immortality. From this pulpit, from this lectern, from this altar, even from the font, He is faithful. And even though you die, yet will He bring you life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.